Hello, hello, and welcome everybody back to the Gaming Blender, the hypothetical gaming podcast where we create brand new hypothetical video games every episode. It is amazing to have you back, and what's even more amazing is Scott joins me here now. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Matthew. Apparently my presence is amazing, and that might be because I'm not amazing at all. Always glad to be here on the Gaming Blender podcast. Matthew, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I realized that I didn't introduce myself, so you introduced me. I essentially said, hello, I'm a human being, and there is a Scott with me. And
you might not have been a human being. You know, AI is making great leaps forward. You could have been generated, you know?
To restart this, hello and welcome to the Gaming Blender, where I am AI and I am learning.
Yes, that would be slightly terrifying. I mean, but that is potentially the future. You know,
it is potentially the future, although I use a lot of AI where I work. I work in advertising, I work in with CGI, and there's a lot where you say to AI, can you do this? And the AI looks back at you and goes, hello, how are you? And you go, you didn't really understand my question.
I did not phrase my question in the precise manner that you required me to do so for you to do your job. Yes.
It's exciting.
No, go on.
I was just about to say it's an exciting future. However, there is plenty of hurdles to jump for old Mr. AI, and there are ways to use it that are good. There are obviously ways that are naughty, like the developers of the Gollum video game who used ChatGPT to do their apology last year, which was particularly hilarious. Right, video game apology. Right, video game whoopsie.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit awkward, isn't it? But, you know, hey-ho. I mean, you know, if... It will get better. You know, it will become easier for you to hide the fact that you've used ChatGPT. It will get cleverer. You know, kids will be able to use all ChatGPT to write all their essays, and teachers will be none the wiser. And then, you know, it will have this whole generation growing up that actually doesn't know anything.
And then the whole generation will just be nodding.
Like, they'll be like, crap, we don't know anything. but hey ho, that's a hurdle to jump over in 20 years' time.
It is. How has your gaming week been? Because there has been a particularly large video game drop this week, which I know neither of us have played, but we both were really intrigued by.
Yes, we are, of course, mentioning or referring to the new Suicide Squad
Cuddle the Justice League.
Yes. No, it's not that.
Is it not Cuddle? What is it?
It's not Cuddle. I don't believe it. It's something about murdering them.
No.
Well, obviously, I think we discussed it last time where we were saying that the reviews perhaps weren't pre-release reviews.
The pre-release stuff was particularly, it's a bit interesting actually, because IGN are getting a lot of flack on Twitter or otherwise known as X on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, all these places, because IGN have heavily taken against it. However, you were telling me just before we started recording that the Steam reviews are overwhelmingly positive.
They are quite good.
They are an electron. They are overwhelmingly positive.
Very good. That's a physics joke.
Physics joke.
I mean, I didn't really understand it because I did very badly in physics, but I think that's what you were going.
I think they're positive. I'm not sure.
Very good. It's interesting that there are these two. I mean, they really came out against it and said, we really don't like this.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, reviewers are not.
They're not players. I mean, look at Michael Bay movies.
Well, yeah, quite. You know, reviewers are not necessarily the people to go by. They can give a good barometer, but actually, obviously, it is more often than not the players. And the players, at least on the... Actually, has it been released on console? I think it has, hasn't it?
It has got released on consoles. And I think... I haven't seen the reviews on consoles. I've just seen what you showed me on Steam, and I've seen the overall reviews. My generic thing is, it sounds like it is fun to play, as in it has a perfectly fine shooter system. However, the level design and everything is very, very bland. But then the story is quite interesting as well. So it does sound like a real hodgepodge of, well, that's good, but that's not so good. But that's good, well, that's not so good. So,
yeah. The interesting thing that I found was that they, one particular reviewer that I saw on YouTube was a bit perturbed by the way they dealt with Batman in the game. Because obviously it's...
Yeah, I mean, no spoilers. But I would say Kevin Conroy is one of my heroes of voice acting. And if this is the last time we'll hear him. So this does make me sad.
Absolutely no spoilers about you know, whatever interactions the Suicide Squad have with Batman. But this particular reviewer was perturbed by the story arc they took with Batman, which, understand, you know, if you find the reviewer and or if you play the game, and you get what he's saying, you know, you'll see it's you know, because that Batman is Rocksteady's character, he just felt like they didn't redo him, do him enough justice they should have done, given that he was the main character of
one of the
arguably one of the best gaming trilogies that's ever been made. So yeah, I think I will eventually get around to playing it, but it's currently a little bit outside my price bracket.
I'm going to be watching the cutscene on YouTube.
Yes,
I'm just going to watch the cutscenes. Because Rocksteady are good; they're good writers. I enjoy what they do, but in terms of full on gaming, I just don't have the time in my life for a big looter shooter sponge of a game.
No, absolutely. And we may get a looter shooter today that we can perhaps create.
We might do. I've already done the roles. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the podcast, hi, and you look great. So if you're new to the podcast, what we do is we roll some dice, and the results of the dice will decide what genre we will get, or Scott will get, because Scott will be leading as I am the magical host wearing a shiny tuxedo. And then he will also theoretically roll some dice to get game mechanics. And then also, finally, just to throw something in, we'll roll a narrative dice, and he will combine this all to create a hypothetical video game that usually we genuinely would quite like to play, and we get very disappointed when people don't play them. So if you do, developers, if you're listening, please develop this game that Scott's just about to make.
Obviously, if it's absolute trash, then, you know, you feel no obligation.
Well, it can't be worse than your proposal to have the animal rutting game last week.
I mean, that was just a pure case of me not thinking through what I was saying before I said it.
We can't explain it. Please check out last week's episode. Check out last week's episode.
You don't need to.
Check it out. Check it out, because Scott is now on a list somewhere. That's all I'll say.
Yes, most likely. Anyway, please tell me what I have to work with this episode.
What do you want after last week's dating sim?
What I don't want dating sim is the main.
I'm not that cruel. I'm not. If it had rolled dating sim, I think I wouldn't have given it to you again as a vindictive move.
That's very kind. I'm actually open to anything as long as it's not dating sim. Okay. So hit me with my genre.
You have an MMO.
Okay, I don't think we've
massively done multiplayer online.
I don't think we've done an MMO for a while. Okay.
No, the last MMO, obviously, we played an MMO together, which was the Star Wars game, and the names escaped me.
Old Republic. That was many years ago.
Yeah, so that was many years ago, and we played, and it was the Great Explorations of Kenneth the Welsh Jedi, because I insisted on putting a Welsh accent on when reading all of the cutscenes to you.
Of course, I remember. It was horrific.
It was horrific. That was 12 hours. Anyway,
what do I have for my mechanics, monsieur?
So I've given you three mechanics because the first one felt quite like it could slot in. So the first one you drew was vehicle-based. Now, when you drew that, I thought, well, that works quite nicely because you've got MMOs. It kind of works because World of Tanks, I know it's not really an MMO, but it kind of works online in terms of fighting. So I wanted a couple more things. So I did a couple more draws. And I drew.
Ready for a blimp-based MMO.
That would be very entertaining, very slow. It'd be like the just sort of an Austin Powers SJ. After him!
Remember when we used to play Sea of Thieves and we used to get chased for hours? It would be like that, but it would be even slower because it would just be like
I enjoyed you on Sea of Thieves standing on the bow of our ship with the megaphone shouting at the people behind us going, "Would you awfully mind leaving us alone?"
Yes, could you?
Cannonballs whipping past your head. Would you awfully mind?
I was putting my thing up to face going, "Can you go away?
Please?"
They obviously didn't.
No, they didn't go away. They very much exploded DDS.
What are my next two?
So, the next two are, assassins-based targeting system.
Okay.
So, which we've done a few times. So that's like Assassin's Creed, and it sort of, again, lends itself quite nicely to MMO because you sort of have a target that you must go after to a kill. It doesn't necessarily have to kill them. It could be kidnap them. Another good example of a game that does this is Hitman. Hitman's probably the best example, actually, where they say just you need to dispose of X, and you do it whatever way you like. And then the final one, which is a little interesting one, we've actually not had this, which is very exciting. In the 56 previous episodes, we've not had this.
Okay.
Physics-based focus. Now, you might ask, what do I mean by that? And I'll say, I don't know. I can't remember when I wrote it. I must have been drunk. No, What I meant by this is the physics-based focus is essentially when the game relies heavily on a physics system. Now, a good example of this is Half-Life 2. Now, Half-Life 2 used the gravitational gun, so you were very reliant on moving things around with the gravitational gun to solve puzzles. Another one would be Tears of the Kingdom, which, again, highly relies on you putting things together and relying on the physics system within the game. So essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to build something but rely heavily on the physics inbuilt system. So a good way of, I suppose, to show this is just when you drop something in real life, just think about what's making that drop, and then that's how your video game works, and then you build from that. So it's got to be sort of heavy reliance on that. So whatever, I think the suggestion from my side would be, Scott, whatever vehicle you choose, it'd be something that you really feel like you can add in some the physics into it, so you wouldn't have something that snipes people from afar.
Okay. This is interesting. I'm trying to start with the vehicle bit, because I feel like that you need that before you tie in everything else. The assassin target system, you could maybe stretch that a little. I suppose it doesn't have to be not necessarily be assassination, but have the same sort of idea of targeting. But I mean, are you keeping me to the word assassin?
No. Assassins, but I think what you mean, that means is target. I don't necessarily, if you say to me, it just means who you're targeting to rob or sabotage.
Is the keyword assassin or is the keyword target? If the keyword is target.
The keyword is target, but for our American listeners, I didn't want them to think it was a store somewhere in
Oh, I see. No, very good. No, that's fair. The vehicle, though. Okay, so what have we got? We've got blimps, obviously, most important.
Most important, yeah.
We've got trains.
Trains.
Trains do use physics. Well, everything uses physics, but you know what I mean. You can have some sort of train-based assassin game. That'll be quite fun.
I've taken out the Flying Scotsman, sir. She won't be flying the flag.
It's World of Trains. what else? So obviously, you've got fighters, you've got space combat, you've got ships. You got any ideas that jump to mind, vehicle-based, that would work?
Well, you could do, if you're doing physics systems, you could do, well, we did planes actually recently, I think we did an aerial-based one. So I'm thinking, what could you do non-aerial-based? That I haven't seen done very much is submarines.
Not sure how you'd fit the rest of it in, though. World of submarines, you must.
You could do submarines quite literally are seeking each other, so you could do the assassin system quite easily.
Okay.
But the physics system is a little bit more tricky. But then I suppose you could do the physics is how the water reacts to your boat being hit by, like, you could do realistic water physics if you get hit by a torpedo.
Submarines also have a maximum depth. Well, my understanding is that when submarines are built, they have
they have
a theoretical maximum depth because of the pressure. However, most people would say that actually you don't actually know until it implodes. So you don't actually know until you go you keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, and then you find it, which is obviously not ideal because
no,
you die. So actually, it's not so okay. Okay, I've got the semblance of an idea. I'm gonna roll with your submarine idea. So, how about this? So, most submarines, like you say, is people they're trying to if it's submarine against submarine, they're trying to find each other and trying to outfox each other. They're trying to basically silently find one another without showing themselves up. There's also if the submarines are attacking ships on the surface, they're doing the same thing. They're occasionally popping up. Periscoping, popping back down again, and then
if people because they're not, so they won't be seeing the video. Just to be clear, Scott's currently making the actions of a beaver popping his head over a wall or something like that.
It's very important because had I not done that, you wouldn't have understood what I was talking about.
Oh no, I wouldn't have understood what periscope means or submarine means. I don't know where I am right now. Thank God you're here.
These are all long words, and I wasn't sure if you'd know. So I thought
I wouldn't be able to periscope.
God in heaven. That was a joke, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't know, it's probably because it wasn't funny. I'm joking, it was funny. So if we do something like that, then you could have maybe the MMO is not it's massive in the sense that there are loads and loads of servers, but the servers are small in terms of the maximum of players. Let's say
it could be like a patch of sea, yeah.
Yeah, so let's say you have in like the really low hundreds of players rather than the thousands, okay? And you put, ooh, here's an idea. Right, okay, so let's pretend the setting is World War III, okay? And but it focuses entirely on the naval warfare, okay? The players, players all play either submarine commanders or ship commanders,
okay?
They get to have that choice. Your job if you choose to be a ship captain, your job is to keep your ship alive. Okay, the submarine commanders are there to either hunt other submarines or try and destroy the ships. Both are able to kill one another. Okay, but the way you could make it is that the ships are more robust. They can take more hits.
Yep.
But they're less capable of attacking. They can attack, but they have to do like depth charges and stuff like that. They're a bit more limited with that. The submarines are, they can't really take hits. So you've got to rely on being as stealthy as possible before you fire your torpedoes. But like I said, in converse to the ships, they have, their torpedoes are very effective.
But I think in which case what you need the ship to have incredible firepower to essentially, the moment the submarine gives itself away, it'd be very difficult for the submarine to escape.
Right, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise you just got all you're doing as the ship player is just pressing forward and waiting to see if you get found.
Okay. Change it slightly. So the ship commanders command submarine killers. So they command specific ships that are designed to target submarines, okay? And their job is to protect the other convoy. So let's say a bit like in World War II. Actually, no, we could set it during World War II, actually. That would actually make much more sense. You could do the Battle of the Atlantic, and you could do the U-boats, actually. I think that's actually better. We'll do that. And if you're ship captain, submarine killer, you're protecting the convoys as they go across the Atlantic. It doesn't have to just be Atlantic. You can do the other parts of the world as well. And if you're submarines, you're there, obviously, to try and destroy the shipping. If the servers, okay, here's my idea. What you can do is you can take the map of where this conflict takes and sort of separate it into boxes. And yep. Those boxes are the servers. And different things, different sort of actions happen in each of the...
So you're saying have battleships in very specific segments. If only there was a game like that.
Yes. basically, yes.
Yes. What you've done is you've designed battleships.
Well, it's battleships. It's MMO battleships.
MMO battleships, okay.
But
thank you for listening to the Gaming Blender podcast. We'll see you next week.
It's finished. But then, so what you could do is you could have different types of actions. So you could have... actions where let's say this from the submarine's perspective, you're trying to ship the shipping as it goes across the ocean, you're trying to attack the ships in harbor and all that sort of stuff. You have different points. One of them is like aircraft carrier, okay, and the aircraft can, I'm pretty sure by the end of the Second World War, aircraft could drop torpedoes in to kill submarines. If they were sort of like high in the water, so you could expand it there as well. And I don't know how you'd balance it in terms of say you have one server, let's say an arbitrary number of 100 people can join that server. I'm not sure how you'd split that down between how many people get to be submarine commanders, how many people get to be plane commanders. But ship commanders. But let's say
I think maybe what you do is you play off the Sea of Thieves idea. For the sake of, because what you could do is, let's say, take this physics bit and say our physics element is the ocean, right? So what we're going to do is our ocean is procedurally generated in terms of the strength or the choppiness or something like that, which means that the people doing the boats and the people doing the submarines all have to battle against the ocean at the same time. So say if there's a big current going on, these submarines are going to struggle, or if there's lots of waves, then the cars are going to struggle. But maybe we take a leaf out of Sea of Thieves' book and have the boats you captain. It's not like you are the boat. You're the captain on the boat. You're the crewmate on the boat. You're like multiple people. So then what you can do is the captain, some people can be on sonar trying to find the submarines. Some people can be driving the ship. Some people can be like, oh God, get on the guns or get on the planes. Because it sounds like if you have the more variety of ships, you can sort of really change it up. And then that might also add to this feeling of oppression. If you have a fifth, let's say it's a 10 versus 10 map. But what it means is you have one ship with 10 players on it and then 10 submarines that those players are trying to take out.
You can split the submarine down in that way as well.
The submarines, maybe a ship is like 20 players and a submarine's five. So you just have a little bit of a...
Because I think there'd probably be less jobs to do on the submarine. Obviously, you've got that. You maybe got the helmsman, the guy, the person on the sonar, and perhaps the captain.
And then you've got the beaver as well. You've got the beaver.
Beaver on the periscope. Yeah, no, I think that could work.
Perkins, do you see anything? Damn, he always says that. He always says, "Damn, must be bad."
Have you ever seen any of the submarine films like Hunt for Red October, anything like that?
Oh yeah, Hunt for Red October is one of my favorites.
Like, they're so tense, and I think especially if you're in the submarine, and actually if you're either in the submarine or on the ship, if you're on the ship, you're terrified of being hit by a torpedo. If you're on the sub, you're terrified of being found. So, I think it could lead to quite a tense game in like a really good way, because you have no idea where each other are, other than when
it's almost horror in a sense. I mean, did you ever hear of a TV series a while back called the Virgil? It was done on BBC, essentially.
Vigil.
So it was murder mystery on a boat, on a submarine, sorry. And someone did post a very funny picture, which kind of does ruin, apologies if this ruins the TV series for you. It said, essentially, it was a picture of the submarine according to Vigil. And it's like a 400 yard long submarine where it's like, this is the captain's quarters. This is where the medication bay is. This is the inbuilt cinema. This is the world's biggest submarine.
I do remember watching it going, I feel like submarines are smaller. I might be wrong.
I didn't think all of them had a ballroom.
Yeah, not being a submariner, I might be wrong. Do you know what? I think that would work. And I think people would enjoy, especially the novelty of, because World War II has a lot of focus in gaming, but I don't think that many people have done that. There are games where you can do naval stuff during World War II, but there aren't many in comparison to obviously obviously Call of Duty.
I think there's one big one that I can't remember the name of, but it's similar to World of Tanks but ships. But I feel like this one, the difference is that sort of multiple player in one space kind of element.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of a submarine sinking, but I like the idea of like people trying to seal hatches when the submarine's going down, and it'll be quite pressurized, pun intended.
I feel like the narrative might come and stick its ugly oar into our moor here. Maybe to do a bit too much rhyming.
I have done the narrative role, and I think you're going to be actually quite happy, considering as well we're 23 minutes in already to the podcast. It's rivalry.
Rivalry, that is very good.
So, but the only thing I was thinking, obviously, the rivalry, there's a natural rivalry built in if you have a war game, which we've built in. My question is, can you build rivalry into this in the gameplay sense?
I think you can. I just had an idea. What if...
Great.
What if we add a sort of nuanced multiplayer version of the Nemesis system into this game? So I think that most of the time when people play this MMO, they won't play by themselves, they'll play with a group of friends. Or at least they'll develop naturally a bit of a crew with other people.
I'll line up my stuffed toy collection and say that they're my friends.
Very good. And I think what you could do is you could put in a system whereby if particular crews have been in action against one another on multiple occasions, they can essentially choose to go into a server. If their opposing crew is also online, they get the choice of, well, you know, these guys killed you last time. Do you want to seek revenge? And then sort of foster this idea. And because the crews they can't talk to one another. It's not like in the Sea of Thieves where you can go and like chat to one another. This is you're sort of separate, so you don't have to worry about any toxicity or anything like that. and perhaps you do something like that, and you stoke rivalry in the game a bit.
That
like,
would be quite funny as well, because they yeah. just you, especially if you were just because the idea is secrecy. If you just had a little thing pop up at the start going, your rival is on this ship, or your rival is, and you what you do is you'd use a system like GTA where you used to have crews. So you'd make yourself a crew, and you'd be like, your rivals, the da da da, are somewhere in the ocean.
Yeah. And that, or you have a thing and say your rivals so and so are now hunting you because they've chosen right. We're going to take the mission to go after that ship, and you could have it so like as you log in, you get like a maybe the crew gets almost like a little sort of little dossier that sort of says this ship the HMS Dover has.
Oh, that's a really nice idea, actually, because if you got rivals, then you can just have they get a little advantage against you, or you get a little advantage against whichever one killed you last. Maybe it switches. So, say if I killed your clan, next time you would get a little dossier on my ship with some weak points, and then obviously if you killed me next time, I would then get a similar dossier on what you were doing,
and potentially they say. You know, last seen by reconnaissance aircraft on this heading at this point at this time,
and you then get little tips,
and then they can do like a little right. Okay, so if they're heading that way, then we think they're probably going to be here, and then they get sent off to hunt. I think that would be really fun because then
I like that idea.
Imagine the satisfaction of sinking that ship after they sunk you. It'd be awesome.
That would be. I can imagine that'd be quite satisfying. You'd have to find a good way of developing it. You'd have to like limit it to 10 rivals or so, and there'd have to be quite a clever sort of algorithm to make sure you had a rival that was regularly online. Like maybe a couple of weeks after servers, it would take the average of when clans were online and be like, okay, well they all match up. These guys all match up, so there's a likelihood of these guys facing against you. But I think it would be fun. Then you get like little insights. Maybe you even get if you take out your rival. Maybe you even get a reward of essentially seeing your kill cam, but as the ship sinks or the submarine explodes, that's like the reward.
Yeah, no, I think that would be quite cool. If, say, if you make it so that you can attack aircraft, let's say if you're a submariner, let's say one of the missions is that you can, that it's an aircraft carrier, you've got to sink the aircraft carrier. Can you make it so that people can fly the aircraft, or does that veer?
Oh, yeah, no, I think you do. You do, because I like the idea of... I like the idea in an MMO of essentially going, but John usually flies the aircraft and John's not available tonight. Don't worry, lads, I've got it. And then just sort of an aircraft just going off the edge and falling in.
Oh, do you know what you could do? You could have someone who could fly, you have the option to fly a reconnaissance aircraft. So, so that means that, but you couldn't, so you'd have to try and, because there's no such thing as GPS, you can't say they're there. So you'd have to like, if you were the pilot and you're flying over the ocean looking out the side and then you see the submarine on just like the silhouette of submarine under the surface and you go, oh, sausages, there's a submarine down there. And then but then the pilot then has to try and describe to the ship he's just flown from where that submarine is without any
because he'll be further away from like radar or whatever, so or sonar or whatever, and he'll be like, take a left.
He's roughly over here. Where's here? I don't know. It's all sea.
I'm doing circles above it.
I think that would be quite entertaining.
I think that would. I one thing I took away from Sea of Thieves, I really like the idea of people having jobs to do on the ship.
Yeah,
like spotter, and I really like that. For some reason, one of the most entertaining things you can ever do is parking. For some in Sea of Thieves, where you just say, "I'm parking, crunch." Did you run aground?
When we played Sea of Thieves, we quickly discovered that I was a useless gunner and couldn't fire a cannon at all. I couldn't hit anything. Whereas Matthew really was couldn't. Quite good at it. Conversely, I was quite a good captain and driver. Matthew, not so much. So our jobs became quite clear cut quite quickly.
There was one time where this is taking when we need to finish the podcast, but just because I love this story, there was one moment where we both I think you started on the cannons. We're like messing around the cannons, and we got attacked by something. And I ran and instinctively went right and ran to the cannons because that's my job, and looked at Scott who had stayed on the cannons, and like looking at Scott who was looking at me, and I was looking at Scott, and, who's driving?
I believe we then also crashed.
Yes, I believe we then did also crash into a large whale or something. Anyway, reverting back to this submarine game, Scott, I'm going to do a quick summary and then you're going to come up with a magical name. Does that sound good to you?
Well, I'm usually terrible at it, but yes, I shall try.
You are usually terrible at the names. So what do you call it? I'd like to call it submarine. Right, thank you. Thank you for that.
Submarine death.
I like to call it water, because it's on water. I don't know why you sound like this. Anyway, so we have an MMO where you drive submarines and ships in World War II with assassin-based mechanics. We are trying to take out your opposition. There's the ship you're trying to take out the submarines. There's the submarines you're trying to take out the ship with this vehicle-based combat. And you'll have this physics element where you have to marshal the sea, because the sea is against you, whether it's choppy, whether there are currents, whether it's damaging the submarine for going too deep, or your ship sinking. You'll have to make sure that you're up to the task. And your fellow players will be running around the submarine or ship with you as you split the roles up as per Sea of Thieves. Using the rivalry section, you will get your rivals appear from time to time, and you will fight them, and you'll get bonus points for taking them out if they appear on your server. And it will be called, Scott.
Okay, so I got three. The first one is called Silent Death.
Yeah, I like that.
You've got the Open Blue, which isn't... I'm not sure about that one. And I've got...
Open Water is...
That's a film, isn't it?
It might be.
Isn't it on the yacht and they can't get back up the ladder?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
And then they die.
I don't know. Then the submarine comes along.
Slight tangent. And then I've got Death from Below. If you have any better suggestions, I'm open to it. Because
I feel like there's something in Death from Below. I like that.
Death from Below?
I feel like there's something like... But I feel like there's something... I like the idea from below.
Shadows of the Deep. That sounds like a squid or something. Or a kraken.
Death from Below? Death from Below?
We'll go with Death from Below. I'm happy with
Death
that.
From Below.
I think that was the one I came up with.
Death from Below, coming to all calculators near you.
There we are. That'd be brilliant. Or like a Tamagotchi. Nice. Almost like a Tamagotchi.
Yes. pressing button, like the one button you're pressing, which is just said, what is it? It's torpedoes, it's steering, yeah. It's everything. What happened? Oh, my Tamagotchi got scared and died. Anyway, this was The Gaming Blender. Thank you so much for listening. We do really appreciate it. And if you enjoyed this, please leave us a review. You can also find in the show notes our email to get in touch with us if you have an idea for a game you'd love us to create. So, because we love a good challenge. But in the meantime, I have been Matt.
And I have been Scott.
Thank you again, and keep blending, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.